Produced by women, about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who have helped shape our community and transform who we are and how we live.
I'm Shelley Irwin. Today's powerful woman, Tasha Blackman, is a dynamic leader bringing more than 20 years of business operations experience to ensure patients in her home community receive the highest quality of care. Her vocation, president and CEO of Cherry Health, Michigan's largest federally qualified health center, has her leading numerous development projects, large-scale renovations, and expansion projects. But don't worry, we're going to talk about her avocation as well, her spare time hobbies. So welcome to Powerful Women Let's Talk, Tasha Blackman. Hi, Tasha.
Hello, Shelley. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm going to go straight to the avocation part. What's a hobby of yours?
You know, probably my most exciting hobby is home improvement.
We'll get to that. Because your favorite dessert is your mother's homemade caramel cake, so I trust you often eat dessert first.
Oh, my gosh. You know, sometimes I only eat dessert.
All right, let's get to the vocation part. Congratulations on your success thus far. Grand Rapids born and raised, now leading, giving back to Grand Rapids. So what has been the career journey of Tasha Blackman?
You know, it's interesting. I started off at Michigan State University as a pre-med major. And that was primarily because my parents, teachers, they all said, you know, you're really great at science, so you should be a doctor. So I kind of headed down that trajectory and then realized after a shadowing experience with a physician that I really wasn't interested in being a doctor. So I took some time off of school and started to explore my own passion. That is when I realized that business was kind of that intuitive kind of arena that I wanted to move into. And I thought that I would honor the education that my parents helped me to achieve with my, you know, intuitive business sense. And that's how healthcare administration happened. So my first job out of college, I was there for 10 years.
Wow.
I moved up and around in that particular job until a chance meeting with Chris Shea, the former executive director of Cherry Health, and learned all of the great things that the organization was doing at the time and could not believe that there was an organization like that in my own community. So I wanted to hear more, learn how I could become involved, started off as a donor, donating to the organization. And six positions later, here I am.
Six positions later.
Six.
And you work with doctors, so that's good as well.
Absolutely.
Tasha, how do you lead? How do you lead?
You know, I am a servant leader. I put the needs of the staff and the patients before my own. I lead with passion. I lead by example. I would say I also lead with love and hope as guiding forces for me. I'm one of those people. I am hopeful. I always see the glass as half full. Always. That's my perspective on life in general. So I would say that there's a tinge of transformational leadership in me where, you know, of course, I want to motivate and inspire the staff and innovate and inspire staff to reach their fullest potential. But I would say my dominant leadership style is that I'm a servant leader.
Finding your own voice. Mm. How do we find our own voice?
You know, finding your own voice, it takes trial and error. It takes experience. It takes wise counsel from people you trust. It takes being self-aware. And self-awareness is not an easy thing. I think most people believe that they are self-aware, but they're really not. So I think about emotional intelligence when it comes to that. It takes self-acceptance, accepting who you are and knowing that you are enough. And I would say it also takes courage. It takes courage to own your own voice. When you are on a journey of becoming your authentic self, I think it's much easier to engender confidence in those situations. So and I think it helps you to own your own voice over time. But I think that most people grow into their own voice. Maybe you have to make a couple of mistakes to get there. But ultimately, I think all of us continue to evolve in that space. I don't think you ever kind of get there because my hope is that your voice changes and evolves over time.
Let's bring community into our conversation. Where does the community play its role professionally and then personally with you?
Oh, yeah. So from a professional standpoint, the community has been fiercely supportive of Cherry Health, not just during COVID, but before COVID as well. They understand that the services we provide impact over 80% of the population in Grand Rapids. So we serve 80% of the low-income individuals in the community. And I think that the work that we've been able to do as an independent organization, I think that it set the stage for our patients not having severe complications from COVID. And what I mean by that is so many of our patients face chronic diseases like diabetes, hypertension, you name it, they experience it. But our team works so diligently to stabilize individuals in their chronic diseases so that if they are impacted by COVID, they're not dying from COVID. And in fact, the rate of death in our community with historically marginalized populations, underserved populations, is so much lower than many of the other communities. And I attribute it to the care that organizations like Cherry Health provide folks. But I also have been able to see the collaborative spirit in this community shine during COVID. I mean, we have come together. Everyone has put their personal agendas aside. And I think that we all just want to care for our community in the best way possible. I feel that in some ways, we reached an ideal community collective during COVID. I really do. I mean, just the impact that we've been able to make together from the city to the county to the hospital systems. I think it's been an amazing display of teamwork.
You're only human. How do you get it away? How do you get away from it all? Or do you?
You know, because my passion for serving the underserved really is in alignment with my personal values, the lines are blurred. You know what I mean? So although I don't necessarily get away from it, what I would say is the job is really not a burden. Do you know what I mean? It's a passion of mine. So I welcome the visits to the grocery store where I run into someone who's a patient or somebody who knows a patient. So I think that my life is embraced by folks that receive care at Cherry Health. And I welcome it and love it. I would say, in addition to that, that I probably could do a better job with self-care. But part of the way I take care of myself, part of the way that I feel myself up and I feel my heart up is by caring for others. That's just who I am. So that is part of my self-care.
And that homemade caramel cake.
Yes. Ooh. Yes, yes, yes.
Now, let me go back to this this hobby that you mentioned.
Yes.
This remodeling a kitchen on your own. I quote you, hence the best selling point of the home. Are you up for hire?
You know, it's funny when you're in a high stress job, when you're in a job that requires you to be thinking vertically, laterally, all over the place, to be able to focus your efforts in one area is refreshing. So it was funny. My best friend, who was also my real estate broker at the time, you know, she kind of came through the home, did a diagnostic and said, these are some of the things you really need to address in the home. And I said, well, I think I can do the kitchen myself. I'll watch videos. I'm sure I can do it. And what was funny was, so over the next 4 weeks, I'm working on the kitchen, right? She's calling me. She lives in the Detroit area. And she finally comes to the house. She's with her husband. And she says, just be nice as we're walking into the house, because I'm sure she's going to have to redo everything she just, you know, did. And she walks in the house and I think her jaw hit the floor. I mean, I think that I am a student. I'm a perpetual learner. And I just watched videos and did what I saw. So, yeah, it was the best-selling point of our home.
Nice. Sure, it sold on the first visit. Who inspires you, and why is it important to find a role model?
You know, I would say that my parents inspire me. My parents were teenage parents, and they had such high hopes and dreams for all of their children. So, you know, when I see our patients at Cherry Health, I really see my parents in their eyes. So it really fuels my passion to make sure that they have the best care possible. So I would say I'm inspired by my parents and generally by underdogs, people that you discount. I'm the person that loves when an underdog wins, you know, because I just have hope that, you know, everybody has something good inside of them. And part of my goal as a leader and as a mentor to other young women is to pull that out of people, to help them realize their greatness. Because there are times when, you know, we as women, even you might see greatness and you say, wow, that person is awesome. But how often do we actually say to the person, you are amazing? Mm. And these are some of the characteristics that I think will carry you far. And then have a substantive conversation with them about where are some of the areas from a professional standpoint that you want to work on, and then help them to build those skills. So I've been fortunate enough to really support young women and young men in our community in building the skills that they need to be great leaders. Mm.
Let me take you back to high school, a skill that you had or have. You have a track record at Ottawa Hills High School, the third leg of a relay. So we're going jogging today, my friend.
We should do that sometime. You know, what's interesting about that is I was never a great athlete. So I was not excited about track and field. I was a cheerleader, and our cheerleading coach basically said, hey, if you're going to be a cheerleader, you need to remain active all year round. And I think on the one hand, it kept us fit. On the other hand, I think it kept us out of trouble. So that was her requirement. And I think that for me, it was an issue of sheer will and determination that got me to the place where I was on kind of like the star track team. And, you know, I performed well, but I would not even at that point have described myself as an athlete. It's that sheer will and determination that I think has carried me throughout my life, really.
Tasha, how do we move forward when everyone is telling us our idea won't work?
You know, that's interesting that you would ask that question, because during the pandemic, there was a lot of that, right? You know, it was an unsettling time. You didn't know what the next hour, let alone the next day, was going to bring. So I think when you're in a situation where everyone is telling you that your idea won't work, the first thing you need to do is seek to understand. Understand from their perspective why the idea won't work. I think that that is the first step to do, because maybe there's a blind spot that you're missing. So I always invite my team, hey, are we missing something? I think that the other piece is, once we determine whether we're missing something, let's say they still are not in agreement, I then shift the question to, what can we do to make this work? So oftentimes shifting the conversation to what can be done, what barriers need to be removed for this to work, it really ignites innovation. It ignites, you know, new ideas. It also ignites a level of tension that produces, in my opinion, the best product. You know, so I think some of our ideas that we've come up with at Cherry Health, we're an incubator, by the way, for federally qualified health centers across the state and across the country. Some of our best ideas have come out of situations where we didn't agree initially.
What's an ideal Saturday with your family?
You know, an ideal Saturday with the family would be going out to dinner. In COVID times, you know, obviously you're not doing that. It might be a picnic outside with the kids, or it might be something as simple as sitting around our kitchen island, talking about the latest pop culture, you know, video, or maybe watching them do TikTok, or, you know, just talking about what their future plans are. So really just spending time enjoying the family. I also love HGTV. So, you know, it goes back to that home improvement bug that I have. So my husband and I, you know, we'll watch HGTV, or I'm really embarrassed to say this, we're like hooked on Family Feud. So I think we've graduated to that age group where you watch game shows from time to time. So again, thoughtless entertainment. Sometimes I need that.
Let us know when the Blackman family is on. Speaking of family surviving, thank goodness, a cyclone while honeymooning in Fiji and more trauma, stranded on a small boat were you with your best friend, Jay.
Yes. Amazing. Yes. So we've had some adventures. I've been fortunate to be able to travel quite extensively. And the situation where we were stuck on a small boat in Turks and Caicos, we were actually rescued by the vice premier, which would be equivalent to the vice president rescuing us, which was an experience in and of itself. I'll save that for a later time, but great, great experience. And then with the cyclone that my husband and I were in, we got off the plane and the rental car agent said, "Hey, did the pilot on the plane say anything to you all as you were getting off the plane?" And we were like, "Welcome to Fiji," that nothing else other than that. And then in the backdrop, you could see, this was at noon, you could see that it just became dark. And she said a cyclone is supposed to hit within the next 24 hours. So we had a wonderful dinner that night, called our family, told them how much we loved them, enjoyed our evening together, went to sleep peacefully. I mean, very peacefully, because I believe that...
I know it's your honeymoon there, Tasha.
Yeah, there you go. But I believe that, hey, whatever is going to happen is going to happen. And then we woke up the next morning to sunshine.
Would you share a motto or recommendation of a good book?
Absolutely. So Living Into Communities, The Practices That Sustain Us by Christine Pohl is a book that I would recommend. It does come from a faith-based perspective, so that's important to share. But it is full of just eloquent, beautiful one-liners that resonate with me so well. One of the quotes that she says in the book is something along the lines of, "Living in and as light makes it so that we never have to be afraid of the unknown." So when people have asked me, "Are you fearful with COVID?" I never experienced fear, not even one time. I've never been fearful this entire time. I feel that we are called as medical practitioners to serve the underserved. And, you know, I think that the courageous efforts of the team just made it so that I was never afraid. I was always hopeful. I'll put it that way. So when you live in and as light, you never have to fear the unknown.
Thanks to you, President, CEO of Cherry Health, Tasha Blackman.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to this edition. Powerful Women, Let's Talk. I'm Shelley Irwin.
Produced by Women About Women, these powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at WGVU.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.